In our study of Ecclesiastes, we have considered by way of Solomon that God said, listen, if you're going to try to use human knowledge, and knowledge, wisdom is the use of knowledge, if you're going to try to use human wisdom, which is the very best that you can come up with, if you're going to use anything in your person, it's your understanding with your mind and your heart. And if you don't use that, if you do use that, the best that you'll do is next to nothing. Because without me, you can do nothing. And thus, the wisdom you need comes from God. And that's what Ecclesiastes is about. Don't look down, look up. And then you can look down. Thus, in the light of that. Wisdom, remember, wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. Knowledge, taking that which you know. And Solomon is the wisest one, humanly speaking, of anyone directly. God gave it to him, and thus, as you know, he could put all knowledge together and have wisdom. The wisdom was not sufficient. Thus, it is knowing, knowledge, wisdom. The Lord God is full of knowledge and wisdom. The treasures of God are full of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures of God, wisdom and knowledge, are found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all is, located in God. If you leave God out, you've got nothing. Thus picking up in mind and keeping in mind God's knowing, picking up in chapter 44 and in verse 8, Isaiah. Isaiah 44:8. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I know not any. I have perfect knowledge. I have unrestricted perfect knowledge. It has no limits. I have unrestricted perfect knowledge, which is eternal. It has lasted forever. Before anything was, I was knowledge. And after everything's gone, I am knowledge. I have the whole, all there is to know. I know it. And there's no process to it. It's all simultaneous, all at the same time. It's all infinite knowledge. It's all fixed knowledge, infinite knowledge, fixed knowledge, all fixed. Very flexible. Fixed, absolute, flexible. Only God will help you understand that one. It has everything, it's all fixed, and yet it's flexible. In God's wonderful person, yet it's all done, all finished. No conflicts, no confusion, exhaustive. Nothing's missing. There's not a piece missing of all knowledge, not one incident. God never forgets. God never increases. God never decreases his knowledge. Perfect, wonderful knowledge in a most wonderful way. And thus you have, as you know, in the end of verse 8, I don't know. And the word know is to sense by experience. It's used of the sight, the organs, your sight. You see, touch, taste, smell. And thus you experience something, you experience it, to know, to mark, to perceive, to experience. God said, in my knowledge, my total experience, looking at everything as a person and seeing it completely, perfectly, wonderfully, as I see everything, I want you to know there's no God except me. Perfect knowledge. Now, having said that, chapter 45. Chapter 45. And in verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. You have never experienced me. Verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. You don't know, but I know. And what I know, I do. I do what I know. I know what I do. You don't know what I do, but you trust that I know what I do. And you know that I know, and that should be sufficient, that I know. Because it's impossible to relate. How do you relate to perfect knowledge, perfect person? All you can do is believe and trust. Thus. Over in chapter 45, going to verse 3 now. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. And here we're looking, you know, at Cyrus and all that stuff. And you're going to know. You don't know. Verse 3. But I'm going to help you to know. You don't. But I'm going to give you information that is most helpful. Thus, chapter 45, verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. So you don't know. God said, I'll help you to know so that all the world will know. That I know, said God. I'll help you to know. They don't know, but I'm going to use you to make it known to the world. Wow. Now, chapter 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves, coming to know. Assemble yourselves, come, draw near together. Ye that escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. They have no knowledge. They don't know. They don't know at all. Chapter 48. Chapter 48. And picking up, if I may, in verse 6. 48 and in verse 6. Thou hast heard and seen all this, and will not ye declare? You declare it, I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. You didn't know them. I know them. And I have helped you to know them. I want you to know them. Verse 7. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even from before the day when thou heardest them not. Lest thou should say, behold, I knew that. You can never say you knew that, because you never knew that. You didn't know that till I told you. I let you know something that you did not know. Verse 8. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knowest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. I knew all this. I know it. Jeremiah chapter 1. And what we're trying to do is just get a sense that God knows. And that's very helpful, because otherwise we think we know, and we're going to trust what we know to make it come out. And we trust what we know more than we should. We need to trust what God knows and then use what we do know. Jeremiah chapter 1. Oh, and picking up our thought, please. Oh, in verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I what? I knew thee. Now, if you didn't know anything else and you just rested with that thought that God said, before you were ever born, before the cells ever began to multiply, 2, 4, 6, 8, 16, 32, and before they ever began to multiply, I knew you. I knew you. I know everyone. I know everyone that's going to be born in the millennium. I already know that. I already know that. I know exactly who's going to be born. I know exactly when, why, where, how. I know the whole thing. I know it all at once. Before I knew, before you were ever formed in the belly, I knew thee. Verse 5. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I did all of this in my wonderful will and way. Chapter 5. Jeremiah. Chapter 5. And picking up, please, in verse 4. 5 and verse 4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the band. There's people that know, the people that know, you didn't listen to. And if you listened to them, you would have paid attention and you would have known. But you didn't pay attention, so you didn't know. If you want to know, go back to the people that know. Who knows, you see? Now, having said that, do it another way. Over, if you would, you're familiar with it. Just, it's a great exercise, though. In Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. And picking up, if we can, chapter 37. Remember, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing, perfectly knowing, as we said in the beginning. Job is going to help us. And remember now, Job is the one being tested. True? Does he have friends? Oh, he has friends. But God is dealing with Job to raise him up. His friends, which are miserable comforters, we're told, God isn't dealing with them at all. He's just dealing with Job. Job goes through it, not his friends. Job goes through it. Job is the one God is doing the work in, not the others. And here is Job looking to God, and God's doing a wonderful work in his head and heart. And he's, wow, why is all this going on? Loss of children, loss of health, everything. Loss of money, loss of produce, loss of animals, wow. Chapter 37, picking up, please, in verse 5. God thundereth marvelously. With his voice great things doeth he, which cannot be comprehended. How do we comprehend what God is doing? God is doing past finding out. Verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And you know, God said, just stand still. I want to help you understand something. What do you need to understand? Back to where you were. That God knows. God knows it all. And he has wisdom in the light of everything he knows. So you need to understand, not just say it, you need to understand that God really knows. Now, in verse 15, depart, doth thou know when God dispose them, his works, and cause the light of the cloud to shine? Does God know? Does God know? God ordains all his works. God controls all his works. God does what he does in a most wonderful way. And you know, going back up to verse 11, also he by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth the bright cloud. God goes and orders the clouds to obey him. And all the clouds sit in the sky, and then they move with the wind, and they get saturated with the humidity, and then they drop the humidity, and the cloud goes away, as it were, and the water waters the ground. Lightning falls from the sky. God orders the clouds, and everything obey him. Everything obeys him, I should say. Lightning, right, light, lightning. Lightning shines all over the world right now, shining. I remember you've seen that, you know. Everywhere in the world, lightning's taking place. Every single breath you take, lightning all over the world. Never stops. Never stops. Wow. Say, well, boy, it isn't lightning now. No, it isn't. But looking down, it's lightning somewhere. Just all the time. Never stops lightning. Never stops lightning. Wow. God said, listen, I want you to know, I'm telling everybody, everywhere, wind blows, wind starts over here and goes over there. Wow. Everywhere, everywhere, that's right. Never stops in all the world. God said, I wish you'd pay attention. Thus, verse 60. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds and the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? God does what he does. He balances the clouds, the swimmings of the clouds, swimmings, poising of them, their activity. You notice how sometime in the sky just sits still, seems to sit still. And other times you've seen them. Haven't you seen them swirling clouds, swimming clouds, moving. God does that. God said, I did all that. I make all that happen. I make all that happen. I'm not an absentee landlord at all. I make it all happen. It's still, and then it comes very, very violent. It goes from the east to the southeast in the desert of Palestine. Wow. And you'd have to pay attention. You'd have to pay attention. Psalm 147. You pay attention, I hope, because I'm going to try to make it apply to get it. Pay attention. But you got to get it, a sense. 1 of the dear ladies said during the last week here, she was here Sunday from out of state, and she said it wasn't until the third time you mumbled, she didn't say mumble, it wasn't until the third time I mumbled something, she said, I caught on to how you do it. I was trying to figure out, what does this guy do? What does he do? And I said, I build. Follow. Every verse, every word is building. And all of a sudden, if you were building, right, a bricklayer, and you were building a wall, right, you build the wall, and you see a brick and a brick and a brick. But if you keep laying the bricks in order, pretty soon you see what? The wall. You see? You can't just see the wall till you have the bricks. You got to have the bricks, and then you see the wall. And you've actually learned to go from Genesis to Revelation. You're learning the Word of God. That's the whole point, isn't it? Isn't it be able to be comfortable in Ezekiel? And you're comfortable in Daniel? You're comfortable in Hezekiah? You're comfortable everywhere. Wow. Now, Psalm 147. I should say, you're comfortable with Hezekiah. You understand? See, some of you thought you were going to look up. I bet some of might even now. Psalm 147. So you need to know that and help people. That's what we're doing. We are. It isn't some silly little thing, you know, little salvation message. Hooray! That isn't what it's about. It's about God. About understanding. Knowing that God knows. And that's how you grow. Thus, Psalm 147. And in verse 5, great is our Lord, and of great power, and his understanding is what? Infinite, absolutely infinite. There's no lack. There's nowhere else to go. There's no English words to describe it. It is endless, endless in every direction. Thus, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. And picking up in chapter 4 and in verse 12. For the word of God is quick, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And only that, only God can do that. How do you, you can't do that. Your spirit is uniquely, permanently part of your soul. Now, they belong together permanently. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, made very clear in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto his eyes, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything, knows everything. He's ever present. He just knows everything. And the word of God is there. And the word of God is given so that we know this, so that we understand it. Thus, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. God gives us his word to tell you he knows. And you need to trust him. You need to look to him. You need to honor him. Matthew chapter 6. And picking up, please, in verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father, this, you know, like the heathen, they're praying over and over and over again, praying, lots of talk, lots of praying, but no trusting. Where's the trusting? Where's the trusting that brings the transformation in the heart, because you're trusting? And when you're trusting, it brings transformation, and it brings a tranquilization. It tranquilizes the heart. It just tranquilizes the heart. But what does? What? Nothing. I'm trusting. I'm just trusting. See? What do you know? I know that God knows, and I'm trusting the God who knows. And I'm resting. Do you think that pleases God? What do you think? What happens if we have a big conference over here? We get over here, and 50 of us get together to figure out what, whatever and something, and we're working and coming up. We aren't going to God's word. We aren't using God's word. We're going and working out our plans, our program. We're doing it, trying to make it come out now. And we're busy. Now, we're trying to do it in our way. Now, where do you think God is getting pleasure? From this, we're trying to figure life out without him, without his word, or the dear little person that trusts him. That's where God's pleasure is, isn't it? And you have to learn that. See, it isn't your brilliance or your skill or your intellect. That's what pleases God. Oh, that's nice. That isn't what pleases God. What pleases God is when you trust him. That's where it works. Huh. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah. Got to know. Yeah, why am I trusting him? Well, chapter 6 and in verse 8, I was there. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the things that you have need of before you ask him. So God's very, very knowledgeable. There's nothing he doesn't know. And you're going to trust him. You're going to trust him. That's what you're going to do. And you know that he knows, so verse 32, chapter 6 and verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows. God already knows, so you don't have to help him, you know. You trust him. Trust him. School, work, home, trusting him. That's what you do. And you have to do it with a little gusto to it, because you're apt not to do it. So you're determined to do it. That's why you have a will. I am, I ought, I will. I will do it. I will do it, God. I ought to do it. Thus, chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Matthew. Chapter 10, going to again, to catch the movement, thought. Chapter 10 and verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. See? Let alone a big deer. See? And if you want to take it even further, just think of all the little bugs going about. And you step on bugs, and you swat bugs. And God knows every bug. Every bug. In fact, God made all the bugs. He made them. He started in motion. Down they went. Lots of bugs. Boy. And you don't have to ever worry about getting rid of bugs because they always more bugs, aren't they? There's always another bug to make more bugs. They're just going to be there. You kill them all this year and they'll all be there next year. I'll be back before the end of the summer's over. They'll all be back, you know. Do everything you can. Thus, chapter 10, verse 29, verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more, what? Than many birds, little birds. You're more important than birds. So you're trusting God. You're learning to trust God. You see? And you do it. You either do it or you don't. Most people don't want to do it because there's no what merit. What you deserve something, don't you? And trust means you got to reach out of yourself and you're looking to somebody else. So you have no credit. You don't get any applause, no approval, nothing. So what fun is that? Well, we don't like that. Thus, please, going over, if you would, over to, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter 11. In Ezekiel chapter 11, picking up in verse 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, said Ezekiel, and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. And then what? Every one of them. See? Here you are, thinking. God says, I know everything that comes in your mind, for it comes there. And then it comes, and then you get all whatever, and God, here comes this thing you weren't thinking about, whatever, and it all comes active, alive, well, on planet Earth, and there it is. It's coming in front of you. But you know what? That God knew that thought before it ever came to you. And God said, you ought to relax. Don't get too huffy with it. Relax. I already knew it. I already knew what you were doing, I think. And I know what I can do. I know what you're going to do. You may want to worry about it. I'm not worried about it, said God. But you may want to worry about it. So then I'm going to have to help you with it to not to worry. Because you didn't have to worry, because I already knew it. I already knew what it was. I already knew about it before it ever happened. Chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. In Ezekiel 20, picking up in verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. We're going to end up losing it all. And that's what God said. You're thinking that it's all, but you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. I know what comes into your mind. I know you're going to say this, and I know you're going to think that. I know you're going to want this. I know what you're going to do. But I know when you start cutting it short, that's what we did try to do. Someone tried to do it in the conference that you see, and we'll hit it again, I guess, somewhere, maybe, is the thing for you to be a believer and to belong to God that intimately is absolutely absurd. And no one wants to believe that in the church, let alone out of the church. It's impossible. But is it? It's very possible. Why? Because God said it was. God did it. God did it in a most wonderful way. And God said, listen, I know what's in your head. And you say, that can't be. But God said, I beg your pardon. It is true. It is true. As you know, 1 John 4:17, as I am there, you are what? You are here. Now, how can that be? Because in Christ Jesus, that's how God sees you, and that's how God works. And if you would just trust him, and you know this, and you trust him, then God said, I'll do what I do in a most wonderful way. That's what God will do. And so what did you do to help him? Nothing. Nothing at all. You pick it up, perhaps in the morning message, if we last that long. You got the idea? God just does. Wonderfully does. God said, listen, don't tell me I can't do what I told you I was going to do. This will never happen for Israel. This will never happen. God said, yes, it will. Yes, it will. I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't going to be. If I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it. Thus, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. All we're doing is just visiting and going from house to house, as it were, and saying, hey, tell us a little about your experience with God. Jeremiah chapter 23. Picking up. Chapter 23. And in chapter 23, oh, go to verse 24, if you would. You know it. Can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth all at once, saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. You don't go by your dreams, you go by God and his word. That's what you go by, you know. And the other day I had something that gave me, there's different things that people have and how things happen, why they happen, and all that. And they said, this is going to happen because that happened. And I said, well, that may be, but we don't go by that. We have to go by God and his word. And I don't want to get caught up going by any system out there. One thing I go by, God. And God can louse up every single plan that humans have, can't he? Boy, can he louse it up, you know. This is how it works. And God, if you get too into it and God cares about you, otherwise he'll leave you alone. God just cuts it and says, boy, how could that happen? And that's like Ecclesiastes that we're doing. You know, the fastest runner doesn't always win. The best person with wisdom in business doesn't always come out. The best fighter doesn't win. Boy, you think everything, but it isn't consistent. So you're trusting God. You're trusting God more and more and more. Over to John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2. And our Lord Jesus, you know, in dealing with people, chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why didn't he get involved with them? Because he, what? He knows everyone. He knows everybody. He knows where to reach out. He knows where to reach and touch. And he knows where it doesn't pay any, where it isn't worth doing it. And he doesn't do it. Spirit of God's looking for where it works. He doesn't just, we have the expression, cast not your pearls before what? Swine. That's where the flu comes from. I wouldn't worry about the flu, though, you know. I mean, if you take your whatever, eat your Cheerios and relax, you know. Anyway. John chapter 2 and verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. He didn't have to have. That's why he said sometime, I just healed you, but don't tell anybody. They would go tell him anyway. But don't tell anybody, because you aren't ready yet to tell. You see? It'd be like the disciples in the upper room. Here they are, 120 in the upper room, waiting. What happens if they all didn't wait the 10 days in the upper room, and they said, listen, we've got to get going. We've got to get busy. Let's get doing, right? Yay! And out we go. How do you think we'd make out? Terrible, if you don't understand. You had no power, you have no life. And until Pentecost, 10 days later, you wait until I give you the power for the life that's impossible to live a life that's impossible by way of my power. Until I give you that, you're going to run around and it isn't going to do any good. You aren't going to do anything. You see, just going to get worn out. Yay. And you're going to get all worn out. And if you wait, I'll do. And we wait on God. We did that the other day. Waiting? What are we looking? Well, God, you make us ready for whatever you have in your good order, all things working together for good. And God does what he does in a most wonderful way. Romans chapter 1, which you're familiar with, just to remind you, though. Romans chapter 1. And picking up, please, in Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they, what? Knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, because that when they knew God, they wouldn't honor God as God. And they tried to use their own system of evaluation about God. And that's the problem, again, for humans. God is God, and he isn't human. We're creatures. He's the creator. And we got a problem. God's invisible. God's omnipotent. God's omnipresent. And we line them all up like this, big list, and we flunk. We can't handle that. How do we handle it? We don't understand it. We aren't like that. No one else is like that. No churches are saying that comparatively. No one's telling us about a God, Buddhist, religionist, Islam, whatever. What kind of God? There is no God like that. But God said, I'm the only God there is, and I know not any other. You see? And so here in Romans, they knew God, but they did not honor him. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain, to approve, to keep in their heart, for approval, to put the evidence and rest in it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their what? God gave them over to a reprobate mind that wouldn't approve anything. They couldn't approve. They come up with the wrong answers all the time. Wrong answers. Why? They didn't want to know God. And you have to do that by faith. And you relax. God is God. He's infinitely God. And you learn to have just relax with God. And you don't have to help God. You don't have to help God be God. You just let God be God. That's what you do. And you don't get tied up in anything or any... Get tied up in God. Most people get tied up in many things. Work, home, school, play, people. But not God. Get tied up in God. In a wonderful way, get tied up with God. And if you don't get tied, and you need to know your heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked, so you don't trust that. But do you trust your mind? I don't trust my mind. I wouldn't trust my mind for nothing. I trust God, and I use my mind. You use your mind. I use my mind. My crummy mind, why? What for? I don't know. I have to look up words. How to spell from. Don't you have to? That's why I have dictionary. I bet you people that have computer don't even have dictionary. You don't need them, right? All you do is think, and the computer thinks, spells, writes, right? It'll even talk for you. Don't they have computers that talk? Someone just told me they did. They'll read for you. They have computers that read for you, talk for you, think for you. What are you doing? You're not needed anymore. You see? Because everything does it. Wow. And we've lost that healthy sense of being a human and communicating in a healthy, realistic way. Thus, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Remember, God knows all about us. And here, remember, he's looking, Saul, he knew when Israel picked King Saul, that was a bad choice, but God allowed it. God allowed the choice. And chapter 16, replacing King Saul with David, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. You know, here's the seven sons, and there's the handsomest, the biggest, and whatever, brightest. No, God doesn't do that. Well, then what do you do, God? I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not, N-O-T, as man seeth. Remember the word know, to see, to the organ of perception, to see. Seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the, what? Outward appearance, and the Lord looks in the heart. And 99.9% of people show the outward. They don't show the heart. Nothing doing. Too dangerous to show your heart. Because you know if you look at your heart and really look at it, it's going to flunk. Isn't it? Isn't it going to flunk? No, it'll flunk. I'm 15 years old. Mine's super. No, it'll flunk. Absolutely flunk. So we don't want to look at our heart. We don't want to look at our motive. We don't even understand. What do you really, 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 really have? Understand. Well, I don't know what I understand, you see. God knows. So God looks in the heart. God knows all about the heart. God knows before the birth. God knows after the death. And therefore, we don't attempt to hide anything from God. We don't deny. We just are looking in the light of our character and condition. We're quite comfortable, and we're learning to be comfortable, and we have to learn, and we learn, and we learn all that we've been trying to think about, and we learn it, and we learn it, and we learn it, and we begin to understand, in me, Romans 7, 18, in me dwelleth what? You learn that. Just like you learn to love, you learn that. And you have to go through the process to learn it. When you learn it, it's a delight. But going through it can be bumpy. Do you understand? Learning in you dwelleth no good thing. Oh, no, I failed again. Oh, God, I can't pray now. I just failed, and I know you'll be disappointed. I told you I would never fail again. See? See? I'd never do it again, God. I'd never do it again. And I did it. I can't talk to God. God's disappointed. Is he? What do you know? God's never disappointed because he counted you as a total what? Failure. Isn't that good? You start off as a total failure. God says you can do how much to please me? Zilch. Zero. Nothing. So just relax. Just relax. You'll have to learn that. And in my wonderful knowing, I know you know nothing already, but you don't know you know nothing. So I'm going to help you go and learn that you know nothing. And I'm going to teach you how to get there. And you're going to learn that. You're going to learn that in a most wonderful way. And if you learn, you'll be great, and you'll be like Paul. Paul triumphed before he lost his head to Nero. I'm the chief of sinners. What do you think of that? You'll say, boy, that guy's crazy, isn't he? No, that guy got it. He was triumphant in it. Wow. So in the light of all that, would you go over with me to 1 John 3, 1 John chapter 3. Now we have just meandered just to think about. Solomon says, listen, All the human wisdom in the world isn't going to get you anywhere, but if you look to God, it'll come out pretty good. And God knows, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point. We don't trust ourselves. 1 John chapter 3, and picking up, please, in verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, what? Does God know? What are we condemned about? We're condemned, we're guilty, we're wrong, we think about the realities of life in us. It comes to the front when we wish it wouldn't, and life goes on and we discover about ourselves. But God already knows. God already knows, doesn't he? He already knows. Therefore, verse 20, but if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And what? And he knows everything. See? So there's nothing new. It's just you and I that discover something new. That's all. God already knew it. See? So we get all upset and guilty and nothing wrong. Guilt's a wonderful thing, like pain is. Pain. How would you like to live in it? People have, conditions where they have no pain. And you could cut them up. They would never feel a thing. Have disease and never feel it. Wow. Well, pain's wonderful. Guilt's wonderful. God, guilt's a blessing. God gives guilt. So but you aren't supposed to sit there and guilty in the midst of all your guilty. You have grace, don't you? And the grace of God answers the guilt of God, our guilt. And the misery of man, misery, miser. Ever hear misers? Misery. God answers misery, our miserliness, with his mercy. Mercy, miserliness, miser, miserliness, our misery. I think of miser. And grace, guilt. 1 John 3, we'll close. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart, what? Condemn us not. We're relaxing. We aren't thinking anything at the moment. You don't have to sit and linger and say how bad I am every minute. That's crazy. There's enough times you're bad without thinking about it, trying to work at it. So you just relax. And if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, I should say, verse 21, then have we confidence toward God. And we're looking to God. Whatever we ask, whatever we think, we're looking to him. God's going to do what he does. And we're trusting God. Trusting God in a wonderful way. So, I've got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.